And as Jesus challenges us today about giving it all up to follow Him, may You grant us Your understanding and our willingness to follow You even to the ends of the earth. Give us Your understanding now through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles open at Matthew chapter 16, we examine the fallacy of Peter's confession earlier in chapter 16. That's from verse 13 onwards. And the Roman Catholic Church, as you know, claims that that was the confession that established the Catholic Church. But here, in the next group of verses, from verse 21 onwards, something else happened, which, you know, this is the point about how we read the Bible. We read just one passage, and we stop there. But if we had continued reading this passage, you'll find a total opposite of what Peter was doing. In verse 21, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." And here's Peter's reaction. Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to You." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind Me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to Me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." What a glorious start, and what a terrible end. That the Catholic Church should say that that was the confession that started the whole church, because the keys have been given to Peter. And yet, here in this passage, Jesus rebukes Peter. And He says, "Get behind Me, Satan." Does it show then that that was the person who should hold the keys to the kingdom? I doubt so. And so if there's anybody talking about this, about the supremacy of the Catholic Church, refer them to verse 21 onwards. And you will see that it is very hard to explain that Peter indeed was the sole person given the keys to the kingdom of God. But that's an aside, because the main thing is Jesus then comes to a very important part. Because in verse 24, He says to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." If there was ever a challenge of what constitutes the church, this statement of Jesus would be the key defining moment, the key mission statement, if you would say, of what it means to be part of God's church. But today, as I was preparing this, I want to share with you this passage. Instead of trying to persuade you to follow Jesus, I want to share with you, what if you didn't follow Him? You know, when I was in my... It's interesting that Pauline came to church today. She's actually from La Trobe, where I'm from as well. And I still remember my first lecture in La Trobe University. The economics lecturer started to talk about opportunity cost. Do you know what the term opportunity cost means? It means the things you forego when you take a certain action, there's something you missed out. Don't worry, it's just the wind at the back. And you know, when we don't follow Christ, when we don't put 100% into following Him, is there an opportunity cost? Is there something that we incur that we need to think about? And perhaps if we think about these opportunity costs that are out there, perhaps the words of Jesus today is pretty easy compared to the things that we have to give up. So I want to share with you some things that when it comes to the challenge of Jesus to take up your cross and follow Him, that means there's a huge opportunity cost that we need to think about. You know, this world today lives for certain values. They like to go for short-term values, short-term gains, but not for eternal gains, not for eternal values. That the world today seeks self-pleasure, self-gratification, instead of looking to build something that will last for eternity, something that will benefit the generations to come. Indeed, even the things you buy today have a very short lifespan. If someone told you more than 10 years ago that your phone will outlast your phone, in terms of rephrasing, by 2 years, would you believe it? Those of us who grew up on Nokia phones, who dropped the phones on anything and still goes on, the battery that lasts for 2 weeks, that is a long ago a dream. For to last one day is indeed a miracle, especially for iPhone users. Things are meant to be thrown away. The disposable society. And this is what we have come into. That the concept of sacrifice doesn't mean anything anymore. But self-preservation or to benefit oneself is the most important thing to think about. And yet, when you look at history, there have been very powerful people who understood that even after they get everything, there's something more that they're missing. And I think when you get older, you will see this. I like to follow history, and I read the history of China many, many times. And one of the greatest stories that emerged from that is the story of Qin Shi Huang, the first emperor of China. He was a very ambitious man. He was the first man to unite China. And he was going to use all kinds of means to do that. But when he has united China and he had the wealth of all China and all the power and all the glory of China at his disposal, yet the emperor of China wasn't happy. Because he realized that he still lacked one thing. He lacked the ability to live forever, to enjoy his success, to enjoy what he has done. And so when you look at history, the moment someone becomes famous, they start building their tomb. Isn't that interesting? They start building their tomb. Until today, the tomb at Xi'an, where the first emperor is buried, still hasn't been opened because archaeologists believe his tomb contains so many treasures and hidden traps and booby traps and things that are not safe to be opened yet. And how about the biggest tomb of all? Do you know what's the biggest tomb of all? Take a guess. Did someone say something? Oh, good. That's the biggest tomb. It's not a pyramid by itself. It was a tomb for the pharaohs of Egypt. You see, no matter how much they accomplished, they realized that they needed to live forever. And so they had to start building that even while they're still alive. Imagine that. Have you bought your burial plot yet? Have you planned ahead or bought your... These few days, there was some bad news in the local news because a lot of these funeral homes are cheating people by selling them shonky insurances. But you see, when you start to realize your mortality, that your life is at an end, that you can't live forever, perhaps you could think of the cost you need to pay if you did not have a guaranteed future. That is one opportunity cost that you can think about. But I'd like to share with you three other opportunity costs. When people don't really think about following Christ wholeheartedly. Well, the first thing is about spiritual reality. The opportunity cost to understand and to overcome spiritual forces. We live in a three-dimensional world. We live in a world that we can, we walk by sight and not by faith. If we can't see it, if we can't touch it, we don't believe in it. This is the world we live in. And yet we know that there are different dimensions that we have yet to come across. And I know Pastor Aaron, he's from a charismatic church. He would have dealt a lot with spiritual realities. He would have come across people who are demon-possessed. Even the Arabs believe in evil spirits. They call them jinns. And that's why we have this English word, genie, which actually comes from the Arabic word, jinn. You see, when we start to encounter spiritual forces and we don't have anything or anyone to protect us, to guard us from these forces, is that an opportunity cost too great to bear? We read in the Bible that Jesus encountered many people who were oppressed by evil spirits. And he released them. And I wonder if we, who do not want to follow Christ, how will we have the power to overcome all these evil spirits? When I was in uni, I remember reading a book published by OMF called Roaring Lion, written by a missionary during his time in East Malaysia. And there were many, many stories of evil spirits that he could identify. He even, when he first went to East Malaysia, he didn't believe in all these spirits. And he went to a religious, Chinese religious ceremony. And there was a medium. They called him Tangkis. And he was holding a sword, waving around. But when he came to the missionary, he became extra angry and agitated, and he tried to use the ceremonial sword to try to slash at the missionary, and he had to be restrained by the people following him because they know that these people who are possessed by these spirits are not under their own control. And that gave a wake-up call to these missionaries to the reality of spiritual forces. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter warns us, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Satan may have been conquered. He may be powerless, but he does go around pretending to be still a powerful foe. His roar scares people. He may not have the bite, but he certainly has the roar. I wonder, how are you going to have power against spiritual forces? Maybe you haven't seen such a power in action in your life. But when it comes, would you have the power? Would you have to pay a much higher price for not following God, for not giving Christ your 100%, for not carrying the cross? You know, there are so many things in the world we still don't understand. And we will never understand how miracles work, how God sends his angels to protect us. Even many times in your life, when you see coincidences, you call them coincidences. But we call them God-appointed moments. Do you see how God is moving? And if you give up on following Christ 100%, how will you ever be able to see what is happening in the spiritual world? Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Is spiritual reality an opportunity cost that you have to give up because you refuse to follow Christ? The next thing that we can think about is mental reality, the opportunity cost to understand your mind and its true potential. You know, a lot of people in the world today, they don't want to accept God's thinking, how God wants people to live. They're happy with their own philosophies, their own thinking. They follow after what they call the gurus, the positive thinkers. Even on your phone right now, I'm sure you receive so many good morning messages from friends, well wishes, all those good things that you hear from them, that you read in the morning and next moment you just forget, and then live your life as it is. All these things people are going after, and yet they don't have power in their lives. And worst of all, not you guys here today, but many people are spending so much money. I know of people who would fly around the world to follow their favorite guru, and they will be the first at the front row to shout out claims of, you know, adoration for their guru, because they have helped them so much. They have sacrificed so much time and money to do that. And yet, when you look at their lives, are their lives so much more different from yours? Because they seem to have even more problems. They seem to have so much more issues that are not resolved. Are they more happy than you? Or more selfish? The Buddhist religion, Nichiren Shoshu, urges its followers to pray and to chant a certain formula before the tablet in their homes. And people do that. But when I ask them, why did they do that? They said, oh, so that your wishes can be answered, so your prayers can be. So what you're saying is, what I want, by praying fervently, this will be answered. They say yes. Then I ask them, what about other people? What about your neighbor who needs help? Or this or that person who's in trouble and all sorts of things? Oh, there's too much things to pray for, they say. Self-help. Following all these people may be good, but they tend to be more inward-looking. But here Jesus says, if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. Can you see how that should affect our prayers? Should our prayers be like our shopping list? Or should we start to think about others? Or sometimes people might fall into the trap of saying, look, I want to pray for the world. And sometimes you hear some people, they pray for themselves and then they pray for the world. But the strange thing is there's no in-between. Because it's always easier to pray for the world, isn't it? It's easier to always pray for world peace, but it's harder to pray for family peace. It's easier to pray for some people in some countries to be fed, but it's harder for us to pull out our wallet to help our neighbor who needs our help. This is the problem of the world. Our mental reality is stunted, but we don't realize it. We have blind spots that we don't see and don't understand, and we fail to address it because the religion and the philosophy we choose in this world suits exactly where we are. But the philosophy of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, is totally opposite. If you want to save your own life, he says, you will lose it. But you who give up your life for my sake will find it. 2,000 years ago, this teaching was already taught. Something radical had already been shown to us. And yet the world today still does not understand the teaching of Jesus. And little wonder why, because in Romans 1:21 it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. And yes, during Paul's time, man made images, idols. But today, the world doesn't need to make images anymore because they themselves are the gods. And so you see a philosophy out there to look after your own health, which is good, of course. But some people can really overdo it. From the moment they wake up, there must be certain exercises they must do in the bed. Before they step down, there must be certain things they must do. The water they drink must be a certain alkaline nature. The food they eat must be carefully measured. That is the new religion of the world today, to worship yourself. Yes, by all means, look after your health. Look after yourself. But some people will overfast themselves on that. I wonder whether we are also caught up in this new religion of worshipping ourselves. You see, when Jesus asks you to go to some place, at the end of this year, some of the Power to Change students will be going to Philippines to do a mission work there. And it will be tough on them because there's no medical facilities. There are the place there, the village is very poor. I wonder if we were in their position, would we have gone on a mission trip? I already heard some young people say to me, you know, I don't go camping. I can't stand sleeping out in the open. I must stay in a nice room. If if I mention some of you, please, I'm not mentioning your name because I want to protect the guilty. But you see, this is the world we live in today. You know, but during my time, we had to actually cut down tree branches to build a camp. That's how bad it was. We had to dig a drain and fill it with sulfur so that the snakes don't come and bite us. That's the real camp that we went for. But today, there is a worship of self that is permeating the world, of comfort, of self looking after yourself first. I wonder whether we see the philosophies of the world creeping in to affect our thinking and so cause us to be short-sighted and blind to the realities of the mission that God has sent us to do. The mission that Christ says, lose your life. If we are not willing to live in a lousy place, how much more we will not be willing to give up even our own life. That is a challenge, isn't it? And so we need to be discerning. But if you did not follow Christ, if you are not willing to take up the cross, this is the opportunity cost you are paying for it. You will be limited in your vision. You will be limited in your understanding. You will be limited in your mental understanding of the reality of the world we live in. I once worked in a wealth creation company. You know, everybody there was very interested in self-improvement and to make sure they got enough money to retire. But when it comes to giving up their assets, their wealth to help others, oh, that's their other people's problem. This is the world we live in. And yet, many people, on the other hand, are quite content to live in ignorance. If you think education is expensive, I think Ross would know. You know, you have to pay a cost to go for certain schools to learn things. And yet people think, oh, this is so expensive. I'd rather be ignorant. Isn't that a sad opportunity cost? That people were not willing to pay the price. And if we are not willing to pay the price of following Christ, our ignorance will cost us dearly one day. Because as Jesus said, when God comes in His glory with all His angels, are you ready to explain yourself? Earlier this week, the courts ruled that ignorance is no excuse for the politicians to say they are not dual citizens. Ignorance is no excuse. If the courts can rule that, how much more we who must face our Creator on Judgment Day? Are we willing to pay the price then, if we are not willing to pay the price now? The third point is this. It's about spiritual fruits. Then the legacy we leave behind. The opportunity cost to fully realize your potential. In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. When you look at this verse, it is a wonderful verse. For who wouldn't want to experience love in their life? Who doesn't want to experience joy in their most difficult times of trials and troubles? People search high and low to get this, or to have peace You know, I had to see the eye doctor on Thursday, and I was at peace, but my body was not at peace. Because they knew that the doctor would shine this bright light into my eyes, and the body was already preparing for it. So, you know, sometimes we try our best to calm ourselves down, but our body doesn't. But you know, if we didn't have peace of God to help overrule that, we will be in such a mess. I would be in such a mess. We all want peace in our families, between our friends, in our workplace, in our studies, so that our heart is calm and that we do not have any stress. The world seeks after this. We want this. Or how about patience? I know one brother always wants to dare not pray for patience, because it is a tough thing to pray for, isn't it? But we do need patience, don't we? We need patience when we're waiting for someone in the car, for someone to turn up. We need patience. We need patience for everything. All these qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, we need. But you see, the catch is this. If you're not willing to give up all to follow Christ, you will not get this fruit of the Holy Spirit. Is this a cost too high for you to pay? Are you willing to have chaos, trouble, uneasiness, problems in your life? Are you willing to settle for that compared to the call of Christ to give it all up and follow Him, and He will give you this peace, this joy, this patience, this love, this gentleness? Is this a price well worth it to have? You see, when you consider all these points, to follow Christ is so easy. It keeps us focused. It gives us hope. It builds up our faith. It gives us a meaning to where we want to go. It gives us a vision. And all the good things that comes our way. And yet the world today are willing to settle for the opportunity cost of a troubled mind, a troubled spirit, and a troubled life, because they are not willing to take up the cross and follow Jesus. This is the sad reality of the world today. And brothers and sisters, I hope that you realize that Christianity is not just about, you know, coming on Sunday, having a nice little fellowship, even having a barbecue lunch late on the second week of Sunday, not even of singing songs or even of Bible study, because Christianity means so much more. Christianity is your whole life. I wonder whether we are willing to take up the challenge of Jesus, to give it all up. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is so important for our lives today. It's so important for our friends today. It's so important for the world today. Yet they're missing out. And we who are called ambassadors for Christ, for His sake, I wonder whether we are sharing this message of hope, of love, of joy, of gentleness, and all kind of things good to the world, to say that to take up the cross of Jesus is only a small price to pay to gain so much more. That is the challenge we have been given. Why wouldn't you pay the price? Why wouldn't you give up all to follow Jesus? Why would you want to hold back and say, God, I want to still hold back some things and not give them all up to You? What have you got to lose? And the answer is nothing. You have nothing to lose because you really have nothing. We think sometimes our good deeds is good enough. But as the oft-quoted passage in Isaiah 64, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. God sees our good deeds as useless, filthy rags, junk to be thrown out. And yet, we are still unwilling to take up the cross of Jesus. We are still unwilling to lose our life so that we can gain it. We are still having a scarcity-minded, our mindset is still focused on scarcity. We are envious. We always desire more. We are greedy. In Singapore, they call this kiasu. We are never satisfied because we always want more. But unless you meet Jesus and are willing to lay down everything at His feet, you'll never experience the wonderful and the complete reality of God for your life. And if that is the case for you today, or the realization that your friends are still going through these kind of problems, then it is good to take heed of what Jesus says to us today. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. This is an invitation from Christ. This is a challenge from Christ that we cannot afford to lose. This is a challenge that we cannot afford to have an opportunity cost, because the opportunity cost of not following Christ is far too great for us to accept in the long run. As Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool. And yet today the world holds onto their things, their material things. But when they die, they can't take it with them. The first emperor of China has discovered this. He had the whole Middle Kingdom to himself, but he couldn't take it with him. The pharaohs of Egypt had the best land in the whole Middle East, the rice bowl of the whole Mediterranean. But they also realized they can't take it with them. Do you think that your life will outshine the first emperor of China? Do you think your life will outshine the pharaohs of Egypt? Even then, at the end of their age, they realize they can't take it all with them. The opportunity cost for them is far too great. Are you a fool or a wise person? The choice is yours. Don't just follow Jesus. Take up the cross of Jesus as well. There is no other way. Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Father, sometimes we look at the words of Jesus and we think it's too demanding of us. But Lord, when we look at the world, we know that it's only a small price to pay. How can we not accept the words of Jesus? This is an offer far too good to refuse. And yet, Lord, we still hesitate. We're still debating with you. We're still wanting to go our own way. We still want to believe in our own truth. And we want to live our own life. But truly, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May your grace continue to deliver us. May your wisdom continue to enlighten us. And may your love continue to challenge us and to melt us and of our stubbornness, that we would indeed take up the cross of Jesus and to offer up our lives for your sake, because there is simply no other way. Help us to bow before you today, Lord, and to say, I will follow you even to the ends of the earth. Help us today, for we pray and commit our lives to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.